and that the dollar denominated kind of transactions were the controlling the whole world. It means they have nothing to do with the dollar. And now turning more and more energy independent, you can decide to be here, surrounded with Canada on one end, Mexico, the two big oceans. You can do quite well alone for the immediate and medium term. But if for a generation America will go kind of isolationist, you will see others. There is no vacuum. Not one player will cover the world, but America will be weakened. It will start with, it will gradually infiltrate into any area. It will start this month, kind of, the UN is still here. Why should, it's not the best place on earth for UN. It's just because America is the real player. You know, you become less and less involved, you will start to fit in trade areas. Some of the trade wars will end differently if America is not a real player on the world arena.
But it sounds like that's a thesis. It's an interesting thesis, but it may be the opposite of that. It may be that by disengaging, America is actually better off for the next any number of generations. I mean, we don't really need this involvement. We don't really benefit from it.
No, I think
we don't really improve anybody else's situation.
First of all, it's true. It's by definition, it's a speculation. I've not been there. I'll come back to tell you what happened. It's my assessment after watching the world for many, many years. We became dramatically more interdependent on each other. Dramatically. I remember myself 30 years ago sitting down with Bill Casey, who was the head of CIA, I was the head of our intelligence community. And we discussed the world. Pakistan was now at the situation where Iran is now. Many other. And America was, on one hand, the king of the world, and the other, totally independent of the rest of the world, except for the relation with Russia. And if I compare situation then to situation now, not to mention what I can read about time when I was a kid, immediately after Second World War, it changed dramatically in the sense that everything becomes interrelated. The symbiotic relationship that I mentioned between America and China, which neither side really loves, but a circumstance will put you together, is something you could not think of 40 years ago. And now it's inevitable. You have to do it somehow. And when it comes to the way, when you see the subtle way that the world is intertwined to each other, products are produced, you're not in an autarkic situation. Mm-hmm. Probably with robotics in manufacturing, you can bring some of the work from the Far East back home and do it. But the situation where, until when I was young, America's trade with the world was for some 4% of GDP. It's probably four times now that the amount, I don't know exactly. And it becomes more and more intertwined. Now, one of the sources of power of America is this international approach. You basically you say, what the hell is that to do if diplomatically or economically we create fortress America? It doesn't have to do with other sources of excellence. But part of your source of excellence was the inflow of talents from all around the world into this a beacon of freedom that was also leading the world, carrying the mission. There are many benefits to this policy of being a kind of a beacon of enlightenment, advancement to the rest of the world. From the former Soviet Union, not to mention the German intellectuals in the late 30s of the previous generation, to what happens now with the Chinese young capable guys, they all come here, not just because it's better education cases, but because it's combination of better education, better example of how human being could live. But that comes from your being a signal of how the world should have been looked like, being less cynical than Chinese or Russians. But it's interdependent as well. Once you become isolationist, it will take a shape of being really not intervening. So you will see tragedies happens on other sides of the world, and you won't be there. And that will undercut the moral position of America. And America is unlike any other country on earth. Any other country based on history, ethnical roots, culture, relationship, whatever. Here it's a country, a state, based on idea. The idea is to let everyone to have this opportunity. People are not born equal. That's an urban legend or mythology. They're not born equal. But here was created a unique ecosystem where they at least have almost equal opportunity. That will not remain the same. It cannot remain the same because in order to be the source of attraction, in the long term, you have to carry certain value. And you cannot carry it if it's just talk. In a sense, this president is a perfect example. If it could have worked just by talking about it, there is no better executive branch.
What are the opportunities in the Middle East now? The most immediate low hanging fruit opportunities
for what? For political advancement? Yeah, I think that most of it is business because it's they take money. It looks like sticky dark fluid, but they take money out of the ground or some gas or some crude. And they have a lot of money. So they do things that no one else can do. In technology, in education, in business, they can intervene in major American corporations, in leading DAX companies, they can run assets that's lowly hanging fruits, and they become more and more sophisticated. 10 years ago, they need all the assets of the world to help them. With time, they become more and more kind of.
So, is it a division now in the Middle East between the nations that are that have enough wealth to guarantee or provide some level of stability, and then the others who are
culturally we are stricken. It's the best, the worst place culturally because Islam is not right. It's not like. Christianity or Judaism, not to mention Confucianism or the other Eastern religions, so to speak, which are very tolerant, it's not about religion, it's about social order. Islam is still extremely active, a vital kind of religion that gives delusive, I believe, but it gives answers for the frustrated guys and promise of conquering somehow the world. But that's crazy because it's, the women are still suppressed. And it's just a normal society. And it can take, you cannot show them the light and it will change. It won't. Much worse atrocities happened in Europe under, 100 years after Heine, and more than 100 years after Beethoven or Schiller or whatever Goethe, and it was done by the most advanced parts of our Western civilization, which means that all culture is like ice in the spring. It's not really stable, but at least you can turn the other way around very fast. Because the moment the Nazis were defeated, there was Konrad Adenauer, someone on the French side, great fed within generations. They get fed up of 400 years of fighting since Martin Luther, the original. Here you see that when you talk to them seriously, and some of them are intellectual. I told Jeffrey about one of the members of the inner circle of the Saudi court who told me Islam needs Martin Luther. To reform Islam, to make it something about accountability, to heaven, to other human beings, basically, about your behavior. But it's good and bad news. The good news that someone who brought with the source of Wahhabi madrasa, he thinks this way. But bad news is that when you look at the European example, after Martin Luther, it took 150 years of religious wars, then 300 years of national wars, including two world wars, before Europe became a dying paradise, I call it.
Right.
But in Israel, it's still, everything is it's crazy. It's still vibrating kind of primal energies. And there is no Václav Havel waiting for a revolution in any other country. There's no rightness.
So from the Israeli point of view, this is a an opportunistic time, a scary time,
It shows you that I do two and a half lessons, or two lessons inside. One, to be modest about predictions. If Mubarak employed 500,000 people just to let him know when this comes and if it. So how can we do it? Second is that when people tell us, especially in the light of the last 2 weeks, when people used to tell us, Israel, oh, don't worry, don't be too paranoid. Something really terrible happens. The world will step forward. It's the 21st century. It's a community of nations. We're working. Don't worry. And they're back to different. Look at what happened in Syria. What kind of atrocity? No one. It doesn't mean the fact that everyone sees it on the screen. You don't really need intelligence material. Highly confident. See it on the screens, and still there is no unity of purpose and political will and capacity to coordinate certain action to stop it. And the third kind of insight is that our best friends used to tell us for many years: the root cause for all problems in the Middle East is your Israel's inability to solve your problems with Palestine.
So and is it more or less positive that you are no longer the center of the Middle East?
Yeah, it's not true. Not true, but you know, this geopolitical earthquake would take place even if I would have signed peace with Arafat or Rabin or Olmert for that purpose. So they say it's beyond us. So we became modest. When I was still in uniform, I used to call it Israel is a villa in the jungle. Inside the villa, you can have the best philharmonic orchestra, best ballet, whatever. Culture, standard, or quality of life. But when you walk out, you have to be aware that you are in the jungle. No mercy for the weak, no second opportunity for those who cannot protect themselves. And it's a Jewish prophecy for Isaiah and Micha, you know, the end of time, or the lion and the lamb can lie to them. As long as the practice, you have to replace the lamb every several days. So, yeah, you prefer to be a benign lion. You know, we don't have any hostile intention, but you should be protected. So you should be open-eyed. That's the real message for us. And the events of the last 2 weeks weakened dramatically those in Israel, including people in high office. The President Shimon Peres keep telling from his high position of the elder statesman, don't worry, the Americans told explicitly what they're going to do. Don't worry. And I said, to what extent you can really rely on this? When it comes to a real question, if something really bad happens. So those people who prefer to say, okay, we should develop a relationship, we should be cooperating with the good guys and the try to block the bad guys, but basically, we should be open-eyed enough to know that among those truths, we will be, or might end up being alone.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So what he's going to be doing now is sort of the world seems to be in crisis in lots of different places. That's one of the things. Whether it be crisis in food, national security, energy security, cyber security. And what we're talking
food,
about...
Food, even water, you know, it's a, think of the Nile River. Crazy what happens.
What, in what way?
There are agreements, international agreements, signed or written by the Brits some, or more than 100 years ago, or almost 100 years ago. Now it has to be rewritten. Now there are some, probably a dozen of independent states along the Nile. The population had been quadrupled or five times, whatever, compared to when it was signed. There is less water, and you have to use it. And, you know, people for a long time predicted that it can lead to terrible wars when it comes to water. But the idea is to produce much more food for less water and to reuse the water several times, even along the big river, so that you can gain another 100 years of it. It's a basic issue of security.
Yeah, the guy who was the French agricultural minister was here yesterday. He said food security for France is just... Is food riots?
What is food security is...
The world is going to, especially when the population in China and India became more kind of developed with more money, if the Chinese and the Indians would consume food the way we do, the world cannot supply. Cannot supply. They use simpler foods and the simpler production things and so on. So there is a need to produce enough food to make an area cultivated. Cultivable area is covering more and more by urban kind of industrial assets. So you need to develop ways to produce much more, higher crops. There's three elements that we in Israel, in fact, very good in all of them. Higher crops, pest control. Pest immune, or usually genetically, sometimes through kind of complex kind of normal production, normal evolution, but accelerated evolution or genetic manipulation to make them more steady, more immune against pests. And number three is to make all these two or three times the crops with one third of the water. That raise the input to output rate by about a factor of 10. Which gives you another 100 years. And it's needed because there is a lot of misuse of water, misuse and not the right plants being
right. Put.
It needs R&D as always, and technologies, and kind of virtual cycle of improvement of the technologies, and training power, and a way to implement them into places where people are still primitive, they can hardly read English, and to teach them how to do it.
Do you think the world is a more dangerous place or a less dangerous place over the past 15 years? Or nothing's really changed, just the danger's different? Or is it just different?
Years, I believe it's basically a more stable place.
More stable, right?
Yeah. I think, first of all, in places like mainly China, hundreds of millions are taken out of poverty. Look at pictures on the screen from China. They are basically they have food. There. No one is. Remember, everywhere Baba Tuckman, Stilwell, and the American experience in China. He was there, it's American attaché, the last attaché before you lost China, military attaché. He tells his experience there. It ends up that there were huge famines. Tens of millions, you know, kind of. Now, there is much better in terms of food and protection than 15 years ago. And major advances, even as a result of people like Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. There is a development in providing clean water, there are developments in providing a weight of loss of life at the age of less than 1 year declines dramatically even in Africa. Africa looks better than 50 years ago. It's still crazy compared to, I don't know, Connecticut, but but it looks much better than Africa used to be 10 years ago or 3 years ago.
Yeah, because my sense is that it's getting better, and most I think people just have more information now.
Risk weighting down the stream are immense, especially if America is voting itself, so it will be left to the most active players. America still creates a source of not just inspiration, but direction. Some of the combination of its success and the role it plays on the world tells people that this model is the winning one. It's totally different once you isolate yourself. And then any experience will be perceived as, okay, probably it works there, it cannot work anywhere.
Well, it sounds like you think that that's one of the major dangers that we're now heading toward, is the U.S. isolation.
Europe cannot lead. It's extremely advanced, really a paradise, probably better than the United States to live in, to enjoy the life,
totally.
Every aspect of life. But it's short sighted, it's like, thinking of the next quarter, not next several generations. The real leaders now, in terms of the style, the combination of the United States, the UK, Scandinavians, Germany, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. Whenever I talk to Israel, tell them, look, this is our real reference group in North America, Western Europe, the Scandinavians, and Australia, New Zealand. That's it. Rest of the world is turbulent, we hope. But if this group of nations is not leading the world in any perceivable aspect, even in sports, you know, we used to joke, why the hell these Germans are so either or Russia so interested in winning the Olympics, more medals, they were poisoning their athletes to death. Basically, in order to get more medals in the service, someone put his life at arm's way in the battlefield, and the other in the sport arena. I remember one East German swimming trainer came to visit Israel, probably had some Jewish root some 40 years ago, and he came to visit kibbutzim. I was a kibbutzim, and he was fascinated. Was kind of mesmerized by the phenomenon. I said, that's the ideal birthplace for world champions. I said, why? I said, look, every community of 100 families has its Olympic swimming pool, which is true in the kibbutzim, because we need it for irrigation, so we put it and we used it as a swimming pool before. And the kids are psychologically supported by the parents because they live together in the same community, only seeing you, and he sees some good swimmers in the kids. But see, you need the shorts there. Only the shorts are missing. Production line of champions. So, why were they so interested in it? Because they understand that most mankind are stupid people. You know, by definition, half of them are under the average. But you know, it's a bell curve of quality. Most people are exposed, fall prey to mythologies. And the mythology of winning the Olympics is great. You see, it worked on us as well. Think of Owens. You were too young to see it. But these guys who kind of shaken the confidence of Hitler about the superiority of the Aryan race. A black guy that could, Karl, I don't remember his name. Lewis, or I don't remember his name.
Lewis,
probably.
Carl Lewis, I think.
The athlete who
Carl ran, Lewis,
yeah.
No?
Yeah, Lewis. Carl Lewis, probably. He made everything. Long jumping, 100 meters, 200 meters, four different. It was extremely important to the rest of the world, to the free world, that we showed them. We were sitting and reading about it. If America will not lead, this group of nations will not lead. If they will not lead, they will be dragged behind, and the area will be, the other mythologies will take over. History is only the story of those who won, because they write the history.
Yeah, and then Oshatz
didn't help
the Russians and the East Germans much in the end, however.
It didn't help the Germans very much that they won the Olympics.
Of course, because they were... Basically because America stood firm, you know.
Let me say, Hawkins is going to be here because it's already 12:30. So I want you to just 5 minutes. Michael said he wants to talk to you about this UAV for Terry.
Ah, Terry.
Okay. It's okay. Spend 2 minutes and then 4:30. You can't be late though. 4:30.
So,
I'm trying to get them here at 4, close to 4. So,
yeah.
If you want to come 4.
Probably I'd come 4:50.
Okay.
So right now you're working in an ex parte.
I established a firm, a consulting firm, led by me, which is by now.